Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
Welcome to Podcast 2187. And all of us are here tonight, and we're happy to be here, and we're happy to be talking to each other. And I haven't checked if anyone else is happy to be here, but I'm assuming that we all are. So everyone is now happy, whether you are or not. I just want you to know.
Don't put words in my mouth, Tim.
I'm happy. See, okay, thank
you're
you.
Happy, you're happy, why? Vanderpump. Season finale.
I'm happy to be chatting with my friends, to this beautiful audience that is listening, and because it's finally becoming springtime in the East Coast.
I had an opportunity to go to a live comedy show tonight, and one of the guests was somebody named Lisa Vanderpump, and it made me think of you guys, and I laughed and laughed and thought...
Did you really go to a live comedy show with Lisa Vanderpump?
No, it's tonight. It's with Paul Scheer, and she is one of the guests. And
What?
Yeah, I thought about going.
How are you just dropping this bomb?
Hey, you're not even gonna go try and meet her for me and Mark.
Well, I found out about it so late. I figured you guys would rather me not cancel on you at the last minute.
No, look,
we would have understood. She's a legend.
I just like that I would not have appreciated it.
God.
Yeah, the Goldblum I'm excited about. That'll be.
Yeah, you would not have appreciated. She's a legend.
That'll be coming soon.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't have appreciated hers at all. Like that didn't feel right to me. I felt like it would have been messed up for me to go and you guys and the two of you not to.
No, you go and then you get her giving us a message that we could play on Podcast 287.
See, less confident. See, I do get to meet Goldblum this week, and those venues, he actually is on record like meeting everybody and saying hi. I don't know about this comedy show if I get a chance to.
So, Jared, you could totally be working at Pump at this point, because you need a job.
And oh my God! Yeah. go work at Sir.
Well, apparently you don't need to have any experience to work at these places because half these people don't know what they're doing. So I don't know if you've ever worked in a restaurant before, but it sounds like you fit in with a crowd.
So Jared,
you know, you just be lifting all the time. You just be staring, and taking selfies of yourself in the picture, in the mirror. It'd be Jared now. Jared get contacts.
I don't know.
Spike his hair. I'm J-Rod.
I'm putting product in my hair since I was probably like 14 years old.
Time to start, J-Rod.
Whole drinking person ago.
So Jared, though, if you're able to speak with Jeff Goldblum and get him to be a guest on an all-new episode of Jurassic Cast 2187, I'll give you a 50% raise.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I would.
50% of nothing, though, isn't as enticing.
Before we start, apparently people enjoyed our Jurassic Cast a little bit.
Yeah, but, I saw it.
I finally saw the whole trailer because it was forced on me. in Infinity War, it looks great. Yeah. Looks really good. Again, it's not even the same remote thing they were pitching the previous trailer, but I'm in. I like Jurassic.
Mark, when you had everybody muted and stuff, I wrote about how that was one of my favorite parts, or the most enjoyable parts. Even though I really liked Infinity War, and I won't give any spoilers because Tim has zero priorities, but. But at the end of that trailer, there was complete silence, like while the music cue hit and the little like Jurassic World thing popped up, and this tiny, tiny little voice who I ended up finding out was about a 4 or 5 year old little girl at the end of my row just shouted out, "Wow, that was pretty scary!" And it was so adorable. It was like with this tiny, tiny little voice, and it wasn't like terrified as much as it was just like point of fact, like, "Hey, I don't know if you guys noticed that, but." That dinosaur commercial was a little scary.
It looks like a dinosaur horror movie.
But you know, her reaction was the best because I was like, "Yeah, it does. Good call."
The end of the first Jurassic Park was pretty intense.
Yeah,
if you think about it.
Yeah,
you know, especially with Kids in Peril. You know, they tried to do it again with the second one. Didn't really work with me, especially with the. Let's just make a girl a gymnast. And,
his junior Olympian flip doing gymnast thing daughter. It's like I'm fine with introducing him, you know, Goldblum having a foster daughter or whatever. Like that's great. But
I don't remember.
Should have made her like tech savvy, and she could hack into anything. And she's also like Doogie Howser level, you know. But she's a biologist. Just might as well give her all the skills.
I'm Susie McGuffin.
And I don't remember where I read this, but somewhere I saw that the second Jurassic World is supposed to be, like you're saying, Mark, like more of the dinosaur horror movie. And the third one is supposed to be more like the original 93 Jurassic Park.
I think I read the same thing.
That'd be cool, well, I think.
No. No, because there's toys out now, like those Imagine Next toys.
Yeah.
And they got a T-Rex with, like, armor on. And like the old Dino Riders, like toys or whatever. That's what I want. I want Chris Pratt and Blue. He's got a saddle and a cowboy hat. That's what I want. Let's just go all the way.
Oh, it's like what was that show called? Was it called in the '90s? Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, I think it was called.
Yes. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. I'm into it, like steampunk crossed with dinosaurs for some reason.
All right, well, I'll tell Steven Spielberg next time we have lunch. I'll let him know that you guys said that, and we'll see what he thinks.
Excellent. Or Jared, just tell Jeff Goldblum.
That was the other job I'm trying to get now, other than a job at the bar in Vanderpump Rules, is I want to be the guy who's in charge of Steven Spielberg's vest or hat laundry. I figure he's got to have an assistant specifically in charge of like hat laundry, whose job is dedicated to laundering all those hats. So
it's probably got some good hats in there.
What's that?
It probably smells too.
How many times?
Indiana Jones hat from the first Raiders of the Lost Ark, that probably smells hard.
Stanky.
Yeah, just, you know, because you know it's like Tunisia sweat, and it's like 100 something, probably 120 degrees, and it's muggy. And he'd probably wear the hat every day.
Yeah. Sounds super pleasant.
This is going to sound so random, and I doubt this would even happen in the first place. But what do you think of the hypothetical scenario that in the next Indiana Jones movie, there's some sort of flashback, and Alden Ehrenreich plays young Indy? What would you feel about that?
I'd have no problem with that. As long as Alden Ehrenreich doesn't, you know, crap the bed in Han Solo.
Okay.
Solo movie.
No, I don't know.
Jared just grappling on everything.
Listen, I already told Andrea and a couple other people, and so many people I've seen in the last like week or so go from being rather indifferent to being like, I'm into Han Solo, and quite a few people, for the most part in my timeline, ladies, but a few men as well, are like, hey, I'm really into Alden Ehrenreich now, and I wasn't before, and I find him be quite dreamy or something along those lines. And, you know,
I am straight and gay is what you're saying.
No, I think for the most part, they're either already, you know, having those proclivities or just, they can appreciate it. You know, I mean, hey, we've talked before. I believe I saw you mention Pedro Pascal this week.
Hey, don't talk about my Pedro Pascal love.
I'm just saying. Well, and I've got my appreciation for the dear departed Paul Newman as well, but
I noticed the minute that conversation between me and El Diabolito turned into a who I was hot for, you're like, I'm out.
I wasn't tagged for that part.
Weren't?
No, that was just you guys. But I saw it in my timeline. I quite approved. My thought though was, there's a picture of it that somebody even used as like a picture of him holding up something like it looks like he's maybe playing a game of Sabacc or something, but he's holding something up above his head, and they're like using it as a picture to show that they're infatuated with him. And to me, he legit looks like a human Cabbage Patch Kid. He looks like the monstrous puppet men from the awful movie Cabbage Patch Kids, or Garbage Pail Kids. I'm sorry. He looks like the Cabbage Patch Kid equivalent of those things. And, yeah, I don't know. I just don't see it. And I just don't see him as Han yet. I'm open to that because, hell, River Phoenix didn't look anything like him, but he pulled it off. So I haven't seen enough of the clips to feel like I have any idea what his real performance is and will be. So I'm open to changing my mind.
The biggest thing that bothers me, sorry, I'll be out of the way. The biggest thing that bothers me about River Phoenix is his hair in Last Crusade. That's it. Bye.
The skater haircut is inexplicable. Skater haircut.
Sorry. Go ahead, Andrea. My bad.
No, I was just going to say, like in the new solo clip where he's like pointing his finger while he's talking to someone. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? He's just like pointing his finger, like kind of like pissed off. And it's very
like Harrison Ford would do in
Yeah. And I was like, I enjoy this, but at the same time, like these clips are like a minute long. Like, I don't know if this guy's going to be good or not.
There's one that gives you a little bit of,
I don't like,
yeah, who thought the finger wagging would be the one.
I just don't like the people like being like, you need to accept that other people are going to play these characters and you have to like it and whatever. Like, people are allowed to dislike things. Like, calm down. That's not that big of a deal.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's something that bugs me as someone who I think is generally actually pretty positive. I feel like it's a kind of gaslighting and a fake positivity to act like everybody's got to always like everything, you know? It's like, that's not an actual thing. And people get so mad, how dare you? Like, why are you just bagging on it? Why do you need to say you dislike something? Like, why do you need to say you liked something? You're expressing an opinion. Like, it's fine for someone to say they disliked Infinity War or whatever. It's just like, the thing that I think is...
Actually, it's not Jared, but let's move on.
I feel like the thing that's not productive is going into people's, like, mentions on social media who are not looking for a discussion, who are just saying, I like this, and being like, well, you're wrong because of this. Like there's no reason to do that. Negativity... isn't the same thing as having a critical thought or opinion, you know? I don't know.
There was one guy I followed. I think I retweeted one of his comments at one point, but his thing was basically, look, if someone tweets out that they love something and you don't like it, don't go into their mentions. You know, don't reply that you hate it. If you hate it, start your own, you know, thread about it. And if people want to respond that they don't like it also, that's great. But you don't, every time somebody says they like something or don't like something, you don't have to jump in to counter what they say.
I agree. The only time I've ever jumped in any of that stuff is the pineapple on pizza debate, because I feel like it's a moot conversation. I'm like,
it's all a big farce anyways.
It is. Chef,
because the only real answer is pineapple on pizza is fantastic. Everybody else is just trolling.
I was going to say, I mean, I was liked it when I was a kid. I hadn't had it in a really long time, you know, Hawaiian pizza, but that thing has been around at this point for like at least 60 years. Like, I think close to 70 years. So it's like, that train has sailed, as Austin Powers said.
It's more popular than anchovies on pizza, and no one debates that.
That's true. And they're disgusting, and nobody debates that.
Yeah, I didn't understand where that came from, but. You know,
anchovies are objectively disgusting, and no one debates that that's just like a standard topping, even though nobody orders it. Nobody's offended that it exists.
That's for the Pizza Portcast 2187.
There you go.
I feel like we got a little bit
of Vanderpump, a little bit of pizza, barely a little bit of Star Wars.
Vanderpizza 2187.
Can you imagine if we actually like made different series for each time that we say we're going to do a different series? How many would we have?
I have a Twitter account for Jared's and my podcast. Okay. And I even liked Jared on it and he ignored it.
I didn't see it.
It shows how far it's going.
Hey. That does not mean anything.
I followed you, Jared, with the Tanguin podcast.
No, you did not. Really?
I did.
It might not have notified me, because I'm definitely not getting all my notifications, and it might have to do with settings as far as, like, I don't know.
I only have one follower myself.
No, I have to find this stuff. I didn't even see that.
It's sad. Out there.
I would have been excited. I would have been excited if I had noticed it on my notifications.
I only have one follower myself. Oh my god. That's really funny.
So I think it's on Andrea's end. There's some feedback coming in, just so you know.
Thanks, Tim.
Because it's only there when she talks.
That's sorry. On Tim's feedback report. Which is also going to be one of our shows. Where Tim just reviews all the other shows and talks about the instances of feedback.
It's like 5-second podcast.
Minutes,
like this one.
Into,
this
you
one
know.
Had no feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So Tim, what's the agenda for the week?
So, well, Star Wars. I'm going to talk about it. like we do on a Star Wars podcast. We have a new series now announced officially, the new Star Wars animated series, which we knew would be coming for some time because Dave Filoni had mentioned numerous times when Rebels was coming to a close that this was just temporary until they got the next one going and that they had already been working on it. So it's announced now. It's called Star Wars Resistance. And it is an anime-inspired series set for a fall debut. It takes place before The Force Awakens. Captain Phasma and Poe Dameron are both in it, and they're being voiced by Gwendolyn Christie and Oscar Isaac. And it's created by Dave Filoni.
Boo! Yay!
For me, it's more meh. I like that he's not listed as one of the executive producers. And he still might be. I mean, he might just be a co-producer or whatever. But they did name three executive producers, which, you know, when they announced Rebels, they announced all three. So
by the next season, both of those people besides Filoni will be fired and it will just be him.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not wrong.
rest in peace, Greg Wiseman.
Right.
He had to go back to Young Justice. He had to go back to a different show that he was working on before Rebels because
he's not gonna like sharing the apparently whenever you want to contribute an idea or have a say, you know, he has to pass his hat around, and he doesn't like getting a hat on.
It's like the speaking stick. At a group building activity.
Nope. And he's like, nope, this hat is mine.
It's first you have to do a trust fall and let Dave Filoni catch you, and then you have to wear
but
his
he
hat.
He never, ever catches anybody.
He's always got to call at the last minute. He's
sorry, hold on. Here's the cars on line one. Hold, give me a second. I didn't mean to let you fall there, but, you know.
That was dead on Dave Filoni impersonation. I could see you wearing a hockey jersey in my mind's eye.
Oops, Gwendolyn Christie's online too. Give me a second.
What if he's just constantly name dropping? He's like, my friend Jason Isaac, you guys might have heard of him. He's like super famous. He's an awesome actor.
Oh, God. Jared, real quick, not to break off, but Discovery was amazing.
Not to break off, but to break off.
Discovery was fantastic, and we'll talk about it another time.
You finally binged it.
Finished it. Yeah.
Quite good.
So yeah, Jason Isaacs. Woo.
that guy could be on this show because he's been on two things with Dave Filoni, and the first one was 2D, which everyone's saying this one's going to be 2D, which they don't say. They just say anime inspired, right?
Yeah, say it's anime style inspired, and the picture makes it look like it's going to be 2D. But that's kind of leading to my next question, which is, what do you think about the anime style inspiration for this series? What are your thoughts on that?
It's going to look like a modern Robotech.
Yeah, and I
love Robotech.
You showed that link that from what's his name? I can't Stozak? Phil Stozak?
Phil Stozak, yeah.
And that was Mark shared that. We should share that from the account if we haven't yet. But that's a really great thing. You called a lot of this. You basically said that this was what you wanted, and you called that the next show would be in this era. And then when there was the leak of the name Star Wars Resistance, you suggested that maybe it would be, even though those things haven't really ever borne a lot of significant fruit. So this was this is your best prediction run in a while, right?
Yep.
Adet's on the beach was pretty good too.
Mark's a soothsayer now.
I am Nostra Cybus.
Mr. Darthus? I don't know. You got it though.
The thing is that for anybody that doesn't know, Phil Stozak is the guy who pretty much writes the art of books for Lucasfilm. So he wrote, you know, the art of Force Awakens, the art of Rogue One, the art of, you know, Last Jedi. He's currently doing the art of Solo. And so one of the things that he commented not too long before, he might honestly have been responsible for me, because I follow him. He might have been responsible for me doing my whole, you know, daily Robotech rewatch for the most part, because I looked at when I started it. He tweeted about it like the day before I started the rewatch. So I'm like, I had to have seen him talk about it.
He inspired it.
Yeah, and just decide, you know what? I got nothing to do in the morning on the way to work. Might as well watch it. But, you know, and so I commented to him about that this picture gives me a Robotech vibe. And he said, well, there's a reason that I commented about Robotech, you know, so to speak. So anyways, I do think, you know, it's going to have that sort of, you know, I don't know if anyone, Tim, you ever see Robotech? I know Jared has.
Not that one.
Since I was a kid, though.
I haven't seen it, and I've only seen, like, very limited anime, so I don't think I'm going to be an expert on this topic.
It's really just the ships and the flying and the fighting is there, and and then you've got the, you know, interpersonal human drama of everything behind the scenes. So
Is it on Netflix?
I know it's on Amazon Prime. I know it's on Crackle. It used to be on Netflix. I don't know if it is anymore. I highly recommend it to anybody, but, you know, it takes some getting. If you can make it through the first five episodes, you're in, and you're not going to stop.
Right.
But
how long is it? Like how many?
The first storyline is like 36 episodes.
Whoa.
And it's 22 minutes each. It was a daily show when it first came out, and you know, there's three different storylines set in three different time periods. So it's pretty
expansive.
It's pretty involving. Yeah, it's pretty involving. It is. And the thing about Robotech is it really set a lot of ground. It paved the way, even though it was basically an English translation. I don't even know, English adaptation of a Japanese anime series. They changed a lot of the storyline around a little bit to make, there's three different animes combined for Robotech. So there's one story, you know, there's three different separate stories that somehow they combined with a storyline to make it feel like it's one complete story.
That's like in Voltron, the original, they combined Go Lion with, I can't remember what the name of the other one was, but with something else for the first one, and they combined two different things that one animation house here had purchased the rights to from Japan. And then for the second, like the redo of Voltron, they ended up buying a third series and like folding it into it. It's interesting, but I'm pretty sure that Robotech is the one that like inspired that kind of like behavior, you know, or just the idea that you could do that, you could repackage them. And
And it's really quite amazing for its time, in that, you know, there's an interracial couple, there's deaths, there's, you know, there's some episodes where nothing happens other than, you know, like a love story. It's just a lot of stuff when you start to watch it, you know, like, man, I'm surprised I even understood any of this as a kid, because it really feels adult. But it's amazing. So I think some of these people coming up now obviously have seen this. They like it, you know, and if you can really have sort of like the lives of resistance pilots set to, you know, them fighting the First Order, it could be a really good show. So I've got my hopes up for this one.
See, I feel like this, the style, the fact that it's an anime style show, is going to make it either a big success or a big miss. One of the two. I don't think it's going to be much of an in between. Because if it goes well, this is a great medium that Star Wars hasn't been in before, like in this style, and it kind of crosses into a new base of fans it could get to, and it has the potential to bring a lot of new stuff to the series. If it doesn't go over very well, if it's not done very well, then it's just going to be very polarizing, I guess. The reason
I'm going to tweet something out real quick, Tim, under podcast 287. So keep talking.
Okay.
Tim, it relates directly to what you're saying. If I just wanted to mention that, like I was saying before about not being quite sure if it's 3D or 2D, because in those pictures, they definitely have a kind of a 2D style. But if you look at them, they look like they are rendered. They don't look like they're hand drawn, and it looks like it's cell shading. So, honestly, if that's just the vehicles and tech, because like you know, a show that I really loved that did a really good job of integrating cell shaded CGI animation and hand drawn animation was Avatar: The Last Airbender and its spinoff Korra, which both The Legend of Korra, which both were sort of similarly American animation shows that were kind of inspired by anime programs and whatnot, but. In general, I find that it's kind of difficult to really balance that well when it is integrated. And even more than that, I find that the ones that are exclusively cel-shaded aren't really usually that great, you know? But like, it's really hard to do that, to match the 2D style.
Well, and I think one of the things that's interesting, too, is apparently using this style... What is going on?
I don't know. Who's doing that?
It looks like it's Mark.
That's scary.
What are you doing?
It sounds like you're like in a wind tunnel crumpling a paper bag every once in a while.
Let me put you on mute while I finish what I'm doing.
Anyway.
That was awesome.
It says that the team has apparently been wanting to do this style of show for a long time, and they're really excited about it. So that kind of gives me some confidence, too, that it's not some executive's idea, hey, why don't you guys try this out, but it's something that the creators and makers themselves have been wanting to do.
That is cool. And, you know, Filoni did start off with 2D animation. I remember reading interviews, you know, a couple of years ago about how he had to teach himself. He had to learn how to do the 3D stuff for... for the Clone Wars. So it's not really, it's not something that's foreign to him, and it is where he comes from. You know, even if he's had this much experience now in computer animation, he still has his roots in traditional animation. So it should be really interesting if that is full on what they're doing. And either way, that's the style they're emulating. So that's cool.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing some type of clip or preview or something from it, so we have more of an idea.
Seems quite possible we'd be getting one at San Diego. Even if something really, really teasy, if they don't have a huge panel, they could do one at the Lucasfilm, you know, booth, or not booth, but like pavilion.
Right.
The booths, the several booths.
And it's coming this fall, so it's just a few months away, really. And it's going to premiere on the Disney Channel in the U.S. and then be on Disney XD thereafter around the world.
The other two comparisons I wanted to make, because Marx is dead on with BattleTech, or Robotech, but the Porco Rosso, which is a Miyazaki film, it reminds me a little bit of that as well, just because it's a Italian fighter pilot who's cursed to be a pig, but it's just like because of the fighter pilot element, the animation looks really similar to that one picture we have. And someone else said it before I got a chance to, but I'd already... had the same thought that they did, where it reminded somebody of the Sonic the Hedgehog like start screen as well. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that or can see that, but if you compare that image to, if you search like Sonic the Hedgehog start screen and compare that to the preview image for the Resistance, and it actually looks quite similar.
So I did just see the video that Mark tweeted. At least part of it. I didn't like, you know, sit down and watch the whole thing right now, but I saw it, and that could be good. I guess.
Yeah, let's sit with music though.
Oh, like watch it again with the music. Yeah.
Is it the TIE Fighter thing?
Yeah, but it's got all the Robotech music set over it. The opening.
Oh, yeah, I've not seen that. Very cool.
I also feel like I have to point out that Bobby Moynihan's going to be in this series too. I don't know why, but I feel like I need to point
that
out.
Is he like a personal friend of yours or something?
No, but it's just because like I'm somewhat familiar with who he is as a person. Some of the other ones, like I know some of the names, some of them I don't know. His stood out as someone I'm familiar with. So
Scott Lawrence was really good on Legion last season. He was a
series
regular on he was a series regular on JAG So I knew him even before that from having watched that a couple times and hanging out with my grandmother.
You know, here's the only thing that I'm confused about. I do not, well, or maybe not confused, but I do not want this to have anything to do with the characters from Rebels or Clone Wars.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see what happens with Ezra and Ahsoka and Sabine, you know, not too long after Return of the Jedi. But I don't want this to be that series. This should be its own thing, in my opinion. If you're going to bring in occasional characters, that's fine. But it shouldn't be anybody that was, you know, I don't want it to venture off into something about that. Does that make sense?
It should stand on its own 2 feet.
Well, and it should only be 5 years out from. It should be a very similar timeline to Rebels' association with the original trilogy and A New Hope, as it is with The Force Awakens, because of the story in Bloodline. Like, we know that Leia hadn't actively gotten the Resistance going against the First Order until after the events of Bloodline. So, like, there's like 5 years for this to even happen, right?
Yeah, you're about right.
So it feels like it wouldn't feel genuine for it to focus on that stuff that happened where they left us off at Rebels. And I know you want to see it, and I want to see some of that stuff more than others. And in general, I want to see that stuff resolved. So I definitely agree. I've seen some people suggest that Jason Syndulla would be an okay character to have as like in the supporting cast. I think that'd be cool because it'd be a nice connection without making it like the central through line. If he was a character who was a recurring character, that could be really neat.
But don't reference story arcs from past. You know, if you just dropped him into this and said, "Hey, he's a pilot. His name's Jason Syndulla," and you don't reference really anything from Rebels, that's fine. But if you start going, "Oh, well, this and that," and you want to bring in these characters, it doesn't need to be all that. You know, give me a show when Disney gets the streaming service up. Give me a show that focuses on that. And you know, I'm going to gladly pay anyways for the streaming service, but that'll be the icing on the cake. I don't need them combining right now.
And so I just want to read the top comment on the StarWars.com post about the announcement for this. I say top comment, it's just the one that's listed number one. I haven't like filtered through it or anything, but the top comment says, "After The Last Jedi, I don't trust anyone from Disney, even Filoni. I remember how boring and dull Rebels was, except for a few episodes, whatever. This plot doesn't sound promising at all. Anime? Are you serious? If you don't have money for us, your fans, don't do anything. Don't ruin Star Wars even more. You see, Marvel is doing a lot of TV series for their fans, which are good, and you're trying to feed us such kind of crappy cartoon. I'm not buying this."
I mean, the show hasn't come out yet.
I'm kind of that's part of the reason I wanted to read that. I mean, other people are like, "Yeah, this is cool," but I kind of wanted to read that one, which is, it is listed as the top. If you sort by top comment, that is the number one comment on there.
That's like beyond the pale, but it reminds me of actually what one of the comments I think that made me bring up what I brought up earlier about fake positivity. And it's is there no irony to anyone? I read comments where it's like, how can you say how bad this is going to be and how you don't want to see it, like, before you've even seen it? How can you say you want to see it? If it doesn't appeal to somebody, then it doesn't appeal to them. Like they're allowed to say, "I'm not interested in this." And that's not being an, you know, I almost had to get bleeped. It's not being a jerk. It's not being a poopy head.
No.
Well,
there's a difference, though, Jared.
Yeah, there's a difference. I would say he didn't say, "I'm not excited about this," or something.
No, I said that guy was beyond the pale. That's the first thing I said. That guy is not in the same category. It just made me think of it.
Okay, yeah.
No, that guy's bonkers. You can say you can judge from a trailer or a press release or whatever whether or not it excites you, if it interests you, and that's totally valid. No one should say you have to watch this movie.
Right.
If you didn't like the trailer, you didn't like the trailer. But to say it was a crappy movie based on the trailer, that's not reasonable. You know,
Right.
Well, it's like everybody knows, you know, Donna Marie Macias. You know, her response to this was, "I'm not sure if, you know, this is for me. If I'm going to be really into this, I'm happy for everybody that is, but it may not be my thing. I'll give it a try anyways, but you know, I'm not
overly pumped on it based on what I hear. And it's like, that's respectable.
No, that's totally, yeah. That's yeah. totally fair. Like,
because her and, more than anybody else, she's really into the animated side of Star Wars. So it's like, you know, she's not falsely screaming joy for it. She's willing to give it a chance. And I think that's, you know, that's the way most people should be in this situation. Just don't crap all over it if you don't like it, but, you know, at least give it a shot.
Yeah, and I feel like it's okay if you don't want to give it a shot, but at the same token, like you said, it's equally important to not crap all over it because you didn't give it a shot. Like, so where are you coming from? And it hasn't even come out yet, so how could you crap over anything that's unreleased? It's just silly.
I need a trailer.
And we have BB-8 in it too, so there has to be some level of coolness about it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
All right.
That is still. I really wish that it wasn't taken off their store, but the podcast How Did This Get Made had a BB-8 shirt and, like, you know, everything, because you can get from those TeePublic and whatnot and Teespring stores, you can get them on it. But you can get the designs on everything. But it was a picture of BB-8 and said, "What's its mission?" One of the co-hosts was terrified of the remote control BB-8 when they got it right before Force Awakens. her husband was, like, driving it around their house, and he's that's literally what she said, like, repeatedly. The first encounter with BB-8 was, "What's its mission?" Like, she wanted to know what its purpose was. Like, she was so nervous that there was something evil about it or nefarious. So that's what I want to know, is what is BB-8's real mission?
Well, maybe we'll find out in the series. I mean,
to have fun and a good time.
So what character from either Clone Wars, like main character from either Clone Wars or Rebels, if there is any, would we be the most okay having be a regular character in this series?
Regular?
Like, if there has to be one.
Wait, what?
Jason, I think, actually, at the very end of Rebels. I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah, I was saying that if there has to be a character from Clone Wars or Rebels as a main part of this show, who would we want it to be? If there has to be one.
Oh.
I agree with that response.
Mine? That one guy.
Oh, yeah, that's well done.
Response too.
What's his name?
Hondo.
No.
Saw Gerrera's head. His head survived.
No, guys! That one guy who...
We're back to the...
Shoot, what's his name?
Guy with the deal. You know, the thing.
No, the one guy who was on the video who was, like, gonna betray them and then didn't.
The video.
Oh,
what?
A
writer from Rebels?
Yeah.
The old dude, like the really old dude, who's like mayor.
Yeah, why not?
He could,
you know. Let's not be ageist, Jared.
Saints.
What about Callus?
It's been like another 30 years.
What about who?
What about Callus? Callus.
Or yeah, maybe him.
Callus would be okay with, I suppose.
Is Sabine not getting her own buddy cop show with Ahsoka then?
I'm not convinced that we're not going to get another announcement pretty soon. Especially
that's what I want.
If this is a big departure in animation style, and it's not, and if it is like more traditional, it's not, you know, 3D rendered, I think that there's no way they're going to not use the models that they already have, the software and the programs that they keep refining and creating for these things, and they have been for over 10 years now, it feels like they're going to have another show in development. So I think we still have a chance of seeing that story.
Would this other show also be Dave Filoni, or would it be another creator?
I think he would at least be involved, if not as a creator, and at least on some level, because he's the head of their entire animation department.
Right.
But the fact that he was moved from the showrunner and head animation director for Rebels to just like this general executive producer for all of animation, and then created this new show, that feels like if it was just taking a step back to make this new show, then he would be the executive producer on the show and he would be the showrunner. But it seems like he's just the creator and just going to be a producer, a co-executive or whatever. It's it seems like he's taking a step back, and the only reason that would make sense to me is if he's expanding his role to doing more than one show, or maybe a show and a animated film, whether it's for feature or not, you know, like maybe it's for the streaming service. I don't know. I think I have a feeling we're going to get another announcement in the near future, maybe within a year.
And also, what do you think the difference is between this show and Rebels as far as, I don't want to use the word targeted, but like, if you go with me here, like the targeted age range.
It's still the same channel, so I'm assuming it's targeted the same age.
Yeah, any of their stuff that's on past like the morning is targeted towards that like 10 to 13 year old demographic, I think, in general. And unfortunately,
it's targeted 30 year olds.
Yeah, I mean, the reality of it. I always wonder that with like comic book shows and stuff, because like Earth's Mightiest Heroes was the Avengers show on right before Marvel Animation started to reflect the films more, or before they started to like change it to cash in on their immense, insane levels of popularity. And like people complain about it all the time, even though I thought it was pretty high quality, and there was it was fairly divisive amongst the fan base online. But I was always like, this show isn't like it's not really made for any of us. Like, it's not made for, you know, 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds. Like, it's made for 40-year-olds. It's made for kids. Like, and not only did my nephew like it at the time, but like it made him understand all these characters in the Marvel movies, I think, much better as a result. You know, when Ant-Man came out, he was like, oh, I know Ant-Man and Scott Lang. I've seen those cartoons.
This would be a really great time to talk about targeted audiences for entertainment, but you haven't seen Infinity War, so.
Right, so keep that thought for next time. Okay.
Jared and I just have to table this discussion we had today.
Everybody resume next week.
Seriously.
So,
take a note of this.
So, in anticipation of Solo, I have a quiz on StarWars.com, because I said I'd be doing those more often. And this one is, let me tell you, it's just called How Well. Andrea. What?
I don't know. Go ahead.
Which Marvel character is your soulmate? I saw that a bunch today.
No, it's How Well Do You Know the Millennium Falcon? So there are multiple choice, but for the first few, at least, they're easy. So I'm just going to read the question and just have you just tell me the answer.
This is for Andrea.
Sure.
I don't know how well Andrea knows the Millennium Falcon.
Okay. Your Falcon? What? Are you supposed to call it the Falcon?
No.
Okay.
Me personally? I'm all over the place.
Okay.
All right. So, what is the ship's model number?
Oh, gee. Who knows this?
Everybody knows this.
And honestly, I don't care.
I don't know this.
Honestly, I think that's the right answer.
What? At me, you nerds. I don't care what the lot number is. I don't even know the lot number of...
Model number.
Whatever! Tim! What is it? What is it?
Tim, do you honestly know this answer off the top of your head?
Yes! I'm really surprised Nerd. That you guys don't... Jared, do you know it?
I don't know the number, but I know the... What do you call it? It's a YT light freighter, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I know the prefix. I'm sorry we've disappointed you so much, Tim. Listen. I just want to say I have like thousands of comic book numbers and covers in my head.
Okay, all right. I'll give you multiple choice.
It's like hell. Don't give me spaceships as well, Tim.
I'll read you the multiple choice then. Okay, we have.
Wait, Tim. Hold on a second. Where do they say this in the movies?
I think we as a society put too much pressure to know meaningless, stupid facts that don't amount to anything when you could just Google it. And we don't stress enough importance on things like emotional intelligence, which actually matter and you can't look up. So anyways, what are the multiple choices?
No, but hold on real quick, Tim. The thing is, all the stupid stuff is that this is the third canon I've had in my lifetime. The first canon was my Marvel canon. And then there's my second canon with the the EU. And now there's another canon. So they keep some stuff from one, some stuff from another. you know, good Lord.
Well, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't know it either way, right?
I used to, but I let go of it.
Okay.
At some point, you become ephemeral about this stuff. It's another oblique reference to Infinity War. I'm just going to do it repeatedly until Tim sees it. Until he leaves in the middle of the recording to go see it. But there are things that you get familiar with, I feel like, when you watch those kind of continuity resets over and over with, that numb you to certain things. And yeah. One of those things is extra information. Because when I was 18 years old, I could have told you the best approximation based on the last time they mentioned it, the ages of everyone in like comic books where they have these sliding time scales. It's like well, they last said that you know, that the origins of Peter Parker took place 12 years ago, which would mean that he would be 27 years old because he got bit by the spider when he was 15, which means that the X-Men by the transitive property, and I could do that. But now, as a 35-year-old man, I realize that's a fool's errand, because that same date they gave them, it happened 12 years ago, they just gave that date in a Captain America comic book like last week. So it's like, it's been 20 years and no time has passed in the comic books. But all these characters have aged. Like it's nonsense. So I get where Mark's coming from, because the Millennium Falcon could have been one thing once and another thing another time, so he just stopped caring.
Like Jared said, at one point, Punisher was in Nam, right?
Yeah.
There's no way my dad's the Punisher. my dad was in Nam, and I'm like, yeah.
If
you're that age, it's not happening.
Now, in the comics, he's still really old, so it's probably like the first Gulf War, probably like Desert Storm. But at the same time, like, that's 20 years after Nam.
All right, so our options are YT-1300, YT-2800, they're all YTs, 3300, and 4000.
Tim, what do you think it is?
I don't think. I know what it is. I'm asking you.
I know. I'm going to go with C.
I think I know this one from the multiple choice.
Okay, Jared.
I'm going to go D.
A, right? 1300?
Yes, thank you. Okay.
Ooh, thank you, Jared,
hey. How did Han Solo obtain the Falcon? He won it. He stole it. He bought it. He was gifted it.
He won it. This one, right?
Yeah. He won it in a bet.
Yep, he won it.
Okay. What docking bay does the Millennium Falcon leave Mos Eisley from?
Oh.
I'm not even multiple choice. What?
I'm just A23. That's the number I heard somewhere.
No. Okay. Jared or Andrea, do you guys?
No. What are the multiple choices?
36.
Jared, help me out. This one is explicitly stated in the movie twice.
Okay.
Explicitly stated two whole times in a 2.5-hour
movie. Obi-Wan literally repeats it to make sure he understands it.
I cannot remember, but I know that it's like, I know that it's a four. It's not like 14, but it ends in 4. It's like 84 or 74.
I'm hanging on by a thread because of your half answers, Jared. I appreciate it. 94, yes.
Give me the multiple choice.
Yeah, why can't I have the options that the question gives me?
Because there are going to be options later.
Tim, I have to say, I have administered multiple choice tests as a certified educator, and you are not supposed to be like, hey, guys, you're supposed to know this one.
Yeah, do you feel that Tim is judging my fandom?
I feel
am I a gatekeeper?
Judged.
What?
I feel like my gate is...
I'm just expressing my surprise because I really thought you would know more of these. That's all.
You've got like triple locks.
Do you know to become a licensed nurse, the entire test is multiple choice?
Yeah. Lots of tests for adults are multiple choice.
I just took one the other day. Quiz should all be multiple choice. Give us the multiple choice questions, the options. This is America, and I want the options.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have.
Okay.
I think we'd all do better with the options.
To be fair, this next one, like, truly, you guys do not need multiple choice. Truly.
Yeah. Sure. Well,
truly. Okay. What is the name of the Falcon's... Hey. What is the name of the Falcon's co-pilot during the Battle of Endor? Okay.
Even that one, it's hard to pronounce.
But you know what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
bleepy face.
Yeah.
That guy.
Shout out to that was just podcasting. Tim would bleep me if I said what they call him.
Call him.
Okay, Jared or Mark. I mean, you know what it is, so you can say it.
Not enough.
Thank you. So we're halfway through the quiz. And if we get out of here in time, Mark, I'm going to try to get in the first episode of RoboCop if I can. Or not RoboCop, Robotech. So what we're going to do is we're going to do like a rapid fire last five questions. What planet was the Falcon manufactured on? We have Corellia, Chandrilla, Coruscant, or Cantonica. Oh, now you know them.
Yes. What was the question?
It's gone.
Corellian wine.
It is gone. No. It's a Corellian YT-1300 freighter, guys. Okay. The original design for the Falcon ended up being a prototype for which ship? Okay. We have the Ghost, the B-Wing, the Aravana, or the ship that Jared's going to pronounce because I always get it wrong, but it ends with four.
Oh, the Tantive-4?
Yes, that. So which is it?
The one that I never heard of.
I'm guessing that's the Aravana?
Yes.
Is that... I'm going to look it up to be sure. I want to say that's the one that Han used in Force Awakens. But I don't remember for sure.
See, what do you call it? It is the Aravana. I would have assumed it was the... What do you call it? The Outrider. Because Dash Rendar is low-rank console.
No, shut up, Jared.
Yeah, okay, so...
Well, he's literally his villain guy when he's on ice.
He's not low rent. Come on. He's recast Han Solo for a season.
He's
Don Cheadle.
I got you. It's even better than that. He's Bart Maverick. He's when what's his face? When the original Maverick couldn't show up as much to do the show, they cast Garner as his cousin, as Brett Maverick.
even a better one. When who are the other Dukes?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I can't remember their names, but the other cousins.
It wasn't Bo and Luke. It was like, I don't know, Fred and Velma Duke.
Man, and talk about something that did not age well.
Yeah, clearly.
So, okay, so Mark, you said the Aravana. Anybody disagree?
I thought you answered it. I thought you said that's what it was.
No, I'm waiting to click something. are we going with that?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, wrong. It said it was wrong.
What is it?
It doesn't say. I'm hoping it'll tell us at the end because it didn't say. It just went to the next question.
I bet it's the Ghost, but you're right.
So asteroids in the distance...
I thought I read that somewhere.
Well, asteroids in the distance of the Falcon's flight in Empire Strikes Back were made from what? We have chocolate, styrofoam, sponges, or potatoes?
Potatoes.
Yes.
Taters.
Ray asks Han Solo if the Millennium Falcon is the ship that made the Kessel Run in how many parsecs?
26.
14.
Yay, Andrew, you got it right. What did Ray call the Falcon when Finn suggested they use it to escape Jakku?
Garbage.
No, Jared, you're right.
Piece of garbage.
Yeah, I knew it because when she changes her mind, she says the garbage will do.
The last one is, which of the following characters did not ever own the Millennium Falcon? That's Unkar Plutt, Lando Calrissian, Gannis Duquesne, or Evan Verlaine.
That last guy, who is Evan?
Or Yvonne? I don't even know.
Yvonne is an X-Wing pilot.
He should be in a boy band.
She's a lady X-Wing pilot. She's Leia.
She sounds like she should be in a girl band or a boy band, whatever she wants to do.
That's absolutely true. But... I want to counterpoint this quiz. How do we know? I've never seen a provenance. I've never seen like a line of ownership. But I want to see this information before I'm able to say with any sort of confidence that Yvonne is the answer. It is the answer they want me to pick. I don't know if I believe it.
So we got it, that was correct, and we got 9 out of 10 right. So it said we wouldn't quite make the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, but we'd come close.
Does it say, was it the ghost?
It doesn't say, so I'm taking it again. If we click the ghost, it says that's wrong if we click the ghost.
What the hell?
Which one is it?
I don't know. I'm going to take it again. Hold on.
Is it the Tanti V4?
Let's see.
Also, shout out to Ron to being the first person I ever heard to confirm that it was called the Tanti V4. There you go.
Anyway. That's Ron going by firing.
But no, yeah, so it is. It is that one.
So, it is. Mystery Interesting.
Solved. All right. So anyway, that's our quiz for the week.
Oh, and you know what? That makes sense to me because in the, what do you call it? There was something about that in the old role-playing game books because they're called Corvettes in the
right. Oh, Corellian Corvettes.
Right, yeah, and right. I remember – like those were in the same category as the YT freighters because they were both made on Corellia and they were like, I don't remember what they called them. They weren't both Corvettes, but they were in the same category as the Corvettes. And I remember thinking like they were connected, but it was weird because they shouldn't be in the same categories because they didn't look alike at all. But it's probably because it was the original design and that's interesting. That's cool.
So I guess just the last things though, before we go, I do want to mention about the Ewok hunt mode of Battlefront 2. I'm a little annoyed.
Do you have a section for this? Is like Tim's soapbox?
No, because it's not music. It's not long enough to make it worth it.
Ewoking around with Tim.
No, I'm a little annoyed because I knew I had read that it was a limited time event. They should have put the word extra limited in there instead because I didn't realize it's already gone.
But isn't it back again now?
No.
What?
It's only for 3 days.
It came back for the past weekend, apparently. But
so it's just coming and going like nobody can anticipate? Like on a whim?
They announced it ahead of time. If Tim was actually on Twitter, he would have seen it announced.
Right. And I didn't get to do it at all. I've seen a couple of streams of people doing it just recorded videos of people doing it on YouTube. And it looks like a lot of fun. So I'm like, hey, let's try this out. And oh, look, it's not there. That's hardly a limited time event. That's like a test.
Tim, don't you have free time on weekends?
Sometimes.
Oh.
Depends.
Sorry for you.
But no, so anyway, I was a little annoyed to find out that it's already gone and it was extremely popular. People loved it. People were actually coming back to play the game for once because of this mode they're taking it away.
It was the only thing that was ever going to get me, I think at this point to download that.
And
I was going to go buy the game.
Well, it's like $24 right now on Xbox, at least on sale. And like,
damn it, that's not bad, but it's also money.
But I'm just like, so like, why would you want to buy it? Because they already took away Ewok Hunt. Like, why?
A cool question though: is everything free? Do you have to pay for any add-ons, or is it all free?
You buy the game and you have it all.
Oh, so they're not doing seasons and all that?
No, it's all included. Like the characters and maps and stuff, they're all included.
They were good about that. Even
in the spectrum to the other, they went from we're going to charge you for everything to I'm sorry, everything's free.
Yeah, pretty much. If you want to, like, you can use in-game credits to buy, like, upgrades for people, but all the content itself is there.
What about all the skins?
Those, I think, are unlockable as you progress.
Or you can...
You might be able to buy, like, using in-game credits for those, too, I think.
Okay.
Am I correct? Do you watch Elementary, Mark? Is that right?
No.
No?
No.
There's somebody else who does. I don't know.
I watch Sherlock. I don't watch Elementary. I only have time in my life for possibly two Sherlock shows. That's about it. I've got if Robert Downey Jr. does another one, and then Benedict.
I was just thinking of it. It came up when someone was talking about an adaptation of something, and it's something that will never come up with Star Wars, thank goodness, because it is in a galaxy far, far away. And you guys might not know this, but it was a long, long time ago. But like it was, I think it was somebody talking about the Sleepy Hollow show when that was on, and they were talking about how like it's so weird that in that show there was no story, there was no legend of Sleepy Hollow and whatnot. And I remember the same conversation talking about like Sherlock when it came on, and people be like, there was no Sherlock Holmes. Like it's just the same stuff taking place in the present day, and there's no book. It's so strange to think of it. Like we don't ever, I never hear people have that problem with a new Batman movie or a new Spider-Man movie. Like it's so crazy that he's just become Spider-Man. He doesn't have Spider-Man comic books in his world. like that's not actually weird at all. Like yeah. It's just an adaptation and something that like it's with those period pieces. When they do get readapted, sometimes people have that reaction. It's quite odd.
So, well, I guess just want to throw in that if anybody was interested in Ewok Hunt and didn't get to do it either, like the best of us didn't get to do it, then I would recommend going onto YouTube and seeing some videos there because it looked like it was a lot of fun.
The best of who, Tim? You're talking about the four of us here?
No, the planet.
Oh wow!
But no, it did look like it was fun.
What episode number is this?
98.
96. That's the name of this. That's the name of this episode. 98.
I'll look at it to find out. But by the way, I did when I logged on. I went in today even to see if I could do Ewok Hunt, and yeah, I was not there. But I did get to do the Battle of Crait map. And that was beautiful, just for the record.
I thought, Tim, you were going to say, when you were making a little message to our listeners, you're going to say, if you ever see it again, message me immediately.
Well, I think that's implied.
You go, at Tim, hashtag murder bear, hashtag
okay.
Killing now.
This is episode 98. Confirmed.
Wow.
The 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Will be 100 years old.
And May 4th is on Friday, May the 4th.
Hey, that's true.
What does that mean?
Nothing.
I still hear people saying that means we're definitely getting our tickets on sale then. But I talked to Amanda about it today. I'm like, hey, how many are in our group? She's like, 25. That's as many as we're getting, capping it at 25. And I'm like, when do they go on sale? They go on sale soon? She's like, I don't know. Has it been announced? I trust Amanda and Jason like yeah. the most on that yeah. news.
Uh-huh. I would agree.
Yeah. So when is that going on sale? Like, are we going to have three? If it goes on sale this week, we have like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
God, that's not much time.
But they've also been like 5 years behind on everything about this movie, except for like the finishing of it, I guess. But it'll all work out in the end, I'm sure, you know.
So I would have a non-spoilery. This is my, I'm putting on a tinfoil cowboy hat for 1 second, and real quick, it's non-spoiler about Infinity War, but it relates directly to Han Solo and what you were just talking about with the 5 years and the issues. I firmly believe that there is one extremely bad example of CGI that is almost comparable to the weird mustache thing with the Justice League that is only at the very end of the movie. And I think maybe that they fell on the sword. They're like, well, let's just move this up a month so that we give Han Solo more breathing room. Because I think that if that movie came out when it was originally supposed to, like a week before Han Solo, I think it would have impacted it negatively.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's had the biggest opening weekend, period. Yeah. Beat Force Awakens.
It's not to say that as it is, I don't think Han Solo's in any danger. It's going to still right. gonna be a week after Deadpool, and still not going to probably be like the craziest weekend ever because as a result, because right. it'll be going off against something strong second week. But it'll probably still win the week, or at least has quite a good chance. It has a better yeah. chance if it was going up against Deadpool and Infinity War.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I honestly believe that they were just like, whatever. We'll Disney's like, do them a solid, guys. Come on, you got this. This is 98% perfection. Like as far as
send me what part you're talking about.
I will. I absolutely will.
And I guess just the last thing.
I saw one where they just wanted to finish Discovery. There's the very final episode. They're like,
zooming by a planet. I'm like, I could see through the planet into the stars behind it.
Like, didn't even finish rendering it.
Yeah, like, I don't even, it's like this, that, that's, because the show's pretty solid for the most part. It's like, the heck, didn't even think to just, all you gotta do is like, turn your, what is it, the opacity up a little bit, make it a little bit darker.
You're like, command, save, we have no time.
Wow.
That's pretty great. No, I will, it, everybody who I've talked to about the movie has seen the same thing I have.
Okay, I need to know what you're talking about then, but go ahead and send it to me.
I will.
All right, so but I guess the last thing that I wanted to mention, though, before I go, is just that, relating to what you were just talking about, the Infinity War soundtrack, I have heard, and it is amazing. I mean, it's not like legendary, but it is really good. So just want to throw that out there, because apparently some people think otherwise. So I just want to correct everyone and tell you that you're wrong and that it is pretty good. So
knowing you pretty well, Tim, were you thinking about Barney Stinson when you said legendary just there?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Can I be a gatekeeper?
No. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
All these people, I'm starting to see more and more people who are hoping that the music from the trailers is the music in the in solo film, and that they don't want orchestral music in this one. And to that I say, go away.
I like the trailer music.
It's not anything wrong with liking the trailer music. It's like saying that Star Wars shouldn't have orchestral music and it should be this instead, that I have an issue with.
Oh, that's silly.
Star Wars is one of the main reasons that we have orchestral music in movies today. Because when it was in 77 with The New Hope, they were kind of leaning away from that style, and then John Williams brought it back big time. Into the main, I mean, you know, obviously Jaws and other stuff had it, of course, but Star Wars was one of the big things to really solidify it through the decades since until now. So, like, it's kind of important to the identity of the franchise to have that.
It's really interesting to me, too, when you bring that up. And that's something that, like, a lot of the majority of TV shows by far used to be with actual orchestration as well. But now it's super rare. I think the only person who I know of who, like, insists on it for all his projects is Seth MacFarlane, actually, has there be a real orchestra.
Oh, yeah.
And but every other show, it's like, you're lucky if you got one person playing an instrument. It's all done like digitally now. And most shows, they don't even have actual like music. They just have tones.
You know? Yeah, like, some composers do the music on their computers themselves. But it's like Bear McCreary does orchestras whenever he can, right?
I think so, yeah. But I think that some of the stuff has been with digital stuff. But I think those have been stylistic choices, not, you know.
He also has smaller groups. Like, he'll get a group of people to do the music, so he doesn't necessarily have to rent out, you know, an orchestra. He'll have people he knows play the music. So,
what, smaller combo?
It's more like maybe 14, 16 people, maybe less, rather than, you know, musicians he doesn't know. And I'm not saying I'm opposed necessarily to an entirely different type of music in Star Wars. For me, though, once we get out of what I would say the known universe and you want to experiment, fine, go for it. But as long as we're dealing with characters that we already know, sort of with the ground rules sort of established, I don't want to see anything change up too much.
And like, honestly, this Star Wars Resistance might be an opportunity to have a less orchestral, more, I don't want to say synth, but more along those lines style of music. It might work for that.
See,
no, what might work is 80s prog rock.
Well, that too.
Because you want it to be as Robotech as possible?
Yes, I do.
That's, man, one thing, every once in a while I need to consume something from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, from either the books, or I did really like the Disney Touchstone movie that they did relatively recently. But from the beginning of that, they've had the Eagles song, which has some synth and a lot of orchestration for, you know, a pop band, and what do you call it? A bunch of banjo, like all together for the Journey of the Sorcerer is a not a song, but a piece they did, an instrumental piece they did.
and it was used for everything, starting from the first radio adaptation to Hitchhiker's Guide through like the most recent version, and something that Douglas Adams just thought was really appropriate for it. And it feels like something that would work with, like that style feels like something that would work with Han Solo, where it's like fully a full orchestra, but with synth stuff and with like this like weird kind of hillbilly twang like style. Like, I feel like it could be cool. I want space banjo orchestra for Han Solo.
So like, I feel like, and kind of backpack, or what's, I can't think of the right word.
Backtrack?
No. Like, following up with what Mark had said, I feel like John Powell also is slightly underrated by the average like moviegoer person. So I'm interested to see how the reactions go to what he did for Solo when we hear it. But we'll have to just wait for that. But anyway, I guess that's it. Anything else that anyone wanted to bring up before we go? Or do you think we're good?
Well, I think we're good.
I mean, we're always good, if you know what I mean. But
always.
Yeah.
Tim's going to see the movie before next week, right?
I am going to try. I have to coordinate with another person's schedule, not my own.
Is it Kay?
No. He is on Twitter, but it's a friend of mine who I don't know if you know or not.
Fair enough.
Like,
has Kay seen the movie, though?
No. But anyway.
Well, jeez.
But I am going to try, because I want to see it. Like, I'm not delaying. Like, I want to see the movie, so I'll try to do it when I can.
All right. I guess I believe you.
So, and then I guess what, Infinity Gauntlet, isn't that the rumored title for the next one? I want to see that one too.
So, they said that it would be a spoiler.
Yeah, I don't know why that would be the rumor for the next one.
They also said, like first Feige said that it would be a spoiler, and then he said most recently, like this weekend, he's like, people are gonna be super disappointed with it. We shouldn't have hidden it. There was no reason to hide it. And I'm like, well then what? how could it possibly have been a spoiler?
Tim, go see the movie so we can talk about it, okay?
Yeah, somebody dies, blank dies.
Like, I really don't want to be admitting this on a podcast, but I'm behind with my movies recently. There are now, with Avengers, there are three that I'm like, oh, I'm going to see that in theaters, and I haven't yet. And
there's a certain point you just have to cut those out and go for that. Like, I wanted to see Rampage. I wanted to see A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you've got to go, I got to move on.
I know, but these are good ones.
Things come.
And I'm already cutting one out.
What'd you miss? Ready Player One?
That's one of them.
Oh, good God.
And
was Black Panther?
No, I did see that.
Good. That was good.
What was before that?
It wasn't before that.
What else you miss?
Pacific Rim?
Maybe.
That's okay, man.
You didn't miss much there.
Okay, bye.
End of podcast.
Good night, everybody.
I really, like I said, I'm like, man, I'm going to see both of those movies in theaters, and I just haven't done it yet. And now with Infinity War.
Take a date to watch them all. You don't need.
I guess.
It's going to be on a video, like, so soon. Or video, I'm so old.
No, but I know.
It's going to be a blockbuster next week.
Yeah, I'll go pick up the VHS.
That was on John Oliver. There's four blockbusters left. Three of them are in Alaska. They're independently owned.
No, I did not see that.
Awesome. I think the other one's in here in California. I'm not sure where yet, though. I'm tracking it down if I can.
All right. So anyway, now on that awesome note that I'm just like, I have to turn in my, you know, movie card or something. I don't know. I guess that's it. So next episode, it's going to be episode 99.
Woo!
And it's also going to be our episode after May 4th.
Woo!
And it's going to be the last time that we have double-digit episodes. And we're never going to get to four-digit episodes, so we better enjoy this while we can.
Ever go? What? What? How do you? What?
Good night to all the real movie fans, including Mark and Jared. And also good night to the fake movie fans.
Good night.
Who is just him.
No,
we love him anyway.
Jared, do you think we're going to have a podcast 2187 episode 1000?
Probably not. but when they got to like issues 700 and whatnot at DC Comics for Detective and Action Comics, like Marvel as a joke put out Deadpool 900 and Deadpool 1000, I think like within 2 months of each other, like just meaning nothing. Like we're not anywhere close to that many issues.
Will Vander Pizza 2187 reach 1000 episodes?
That's up to you guys, because I have nothing to do with that.
Is Vander Pizza, is that what it is? Because I asked, I didn't get a whole lot of response. You liked it, but I didn't get an answer as to whether
I did like Vander Pizza.
You like Vander Pizza? That's the preferred.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Okay, so anyway.
I like Vander Pump It Up. I thought that was pretty good.
Too much.
It's obvious.
Yeah, we'll have to try to bring it for the next two episodes because we got 99 and then we have the big episode 100. So
just going
to
be all about Vanderpump. And Tim is psyched.
So
don't tell you any different.
Yeah, anyway, so we'll have this coming up and I hope it's great. And otherwise, that's it. So thank you guys for being on and we'll be back next time. Bye. Wow. The fact that no one else said bye just made that super awkward on my end.
I said bye before.
Before, not when I do. That's like a collective.
All right, good night.
Is Mark alive? No? Okay, well, it was nice having him on the show when he could be on. All right, bye.
Mark, what's going on?